We've been hovering over the theme Known for Love. That's a shofar theme for this year, and obviously it's wide and it's furious, and we can take it a lots of places, but the place that we currently at is that the biggest act of love was God gave his son so that we can live. And that action of his, that agape action of God in giving his son, sacrificing his son, was an absolute act of love. And not only did we get love by this, we also got life through this. But so, it's beautiful how the Lord will use that in your life as well. So firstly, that act of love gave me life. And likewise, God calls each and every one of us to daily acts of love towards others so that life may come. So you get acts of the flesh that will reap death. Gets acts of the spirit, acts of love that will reap life. So it's a beautiful, very simple biblical principle that we need to live by. Edna, will you please pray for my tongue this morning? Thank you. I love the scripture, and this is what we banked on and camped around for a while. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Amen? And so he does that with what? Brute force. He does that with a massive army and a great big king called Jesus. No, he did it with a Messiah's son that came on a donkey, that came low, went low, and came as a servant to lead from the back and to lead fishermen and lay people like us in simplicity through acts of love, destroying the works of Satan daily. And we said to one another what Christ came for, the mandate that he came for, and by the way, destroying the works of the devil is one of the things he came for. This is what we're focusing on. What he came for, the Spirit is today still here for. And so what does the Holy Spirit want to do in your life, in your relational life, in your personal life, in the hidden areas of your heart? What does the Spirit want to do? Destroy the works of the devil. By what? By what means? Condemnation. Yes, that works well. No, not condemnation. By love. By perfect love, just seeping through. Got a very powerful word the other day. Nick, may I use your name? We're just in a meeting with him, and I prayed for him, and he prayed for me, and he just gave me this word saying, amongst others, that there's light, but God's going to take his light into certain corners of my life. And boy, oh boy, has that been true. Who likes that moment when God does that construction with your heart? It's not easy. But it's beautiful when you know it's done by love, for love, to love. Then you can sit back and say, this is actually hurting, but I know it's good. And so if you're in that season, join the queue. God is busy destroying the weapons of the enemy in our lives. And last time I preached, 2 weeks back, I said, it's so beautiful that the world will tell you this, that, and the other is your weakness. And here you fall short, yet I believe it's just misplaced trust. Weakness in the Christian context is just misplaced trust. What am I saying by that? If I think something is a weakness in my life, and indeed it is, but I focus too much on myself, yes, I'm going to reap that. Yet if I shift my trust and say, Christ, God, come help with this weakness, weakness becomes a weapon. Who's seen their weakness become a weapon in their life? Who's ever struggled with rejection and yet the Lord turns it around and you are blessed? Who's struggled with fear and God turns it around and makes you a man of faith? Who was the mighty man of valor? Gideon. And so we learned a lot from him last time that he was not a good choice at all in a human sense. He was absolute weak, yet God turned it around with 300 men. They attacked 135,000, if I remember correctly, soldiers, and they conquered. Because God can take your weakness and make it into a weapon through love. We can skip the to-dos, and you can maybe go listen to the sermon if it's something that's on your heart. But today, we're going to stay around this topic of known for love and weakness and trials and fallenness and disappointment and hurt. Who's ever had any of those? Who thinks it's necessary to sometimes talk about these things? Or should we talk about your best life now? I need some more veneer on my teeth before I can have that smile. But we can chat about that all day long in church. and miss out the realities, because Monday to Friday and Saturday is just not what is being said. Because life is sometimes a bit tough. But who's got hope stirred in their hearts this morning? I certainly do. Now let's talk about our journeys. Like Demi would love to do, let's get real. Have you ever looked around? Have you ever been to, Charles goes to the gym. Have you ever been to the gym or to the shop? Have you ever been on the road? Have you ever been in church and thinking, well, that guy's life is just so much easier than mine? That's great. Get a spirit of honesty going here. Who's it? Yeah. Okay, wait. Yes, we're strong. I'm like, gemakkelijker as jy. I'm like, selfs ek. Yeah, moms that walk around in the shopping malls with their babies already in the stroller. But how often do we do this? That we see somebody else's life, you see their car, you see their family, you see whatever they have or do not have, the lack thereof might even look better to you, and you think they surely have an easier life. Sam, have you ever had such a moment? Honestly, yes. Have you guys? Examples, come. Moms in shops, yes. Holidays. Rugby players. Hulle doen lekker dinge en hulle kry baie geld. What else? Sleep. People that can sleep, yes. I thought you were going to say somebody with a nice, big, fast car, but it's not that. People with phones on silent when they go to bed. Wow, that's a deep one. Anything else? Where have you seen somebody that has a better life than you? Everywhere. In the world, have you ever as a Christian thought, people in the world has it easier? Okay. We've got two honest people here. Any other takers for that one? Yes, four, five, yes. Honesty is moving. Great stuff. Now, you know that's always an illusion. Do you know that is always an illusion? Talk to me about your journey. If you should take the age where you're at, the number of years that you've been on earth and that you've traveled, and even think of the plans that you had that didn't work out and the ways in which you thought the next decade will look, but it didn't. Please sum up, and we remember this is church. We use godly biblical language. Please sum up your life journey up until this day in 1, 2, 3 words. Anybody? Very exciting. Okay, Albert. One big adventure. Okay. Up and down. Thank you. That's more than what I want. Now I can get all these positive people out of the way first, and I can start encouraging the rest. In adventure and risk. No, absolutely. You're married to me, and I'm married to Christ. That it's sure to be fun. Anybody that wants to just summarize their life's journey? Sorry? Live right and center. Up and down, what else? You'll go through the valley, I'll be with you. It's a very godly answer, that. Well done. Hey? All over the show. Wow. Starting again and again and again and again. Wow, that's also profound. And that makes a lot of sense, because I believe that's lots of people's journeys. Please sum up your journey with 1, 2, 3 words. And choices. Trials and choices. What was the first one? Resistance, yes. Battles. Anybody battles? Yes. Never give up. That speaks of a fight. I like that. Emmy. Challenging but interesting. I like that. That's diplomatic. Always friendly. That smile can only say that. Challenging. Rewarding. Yes. Rewarding. Dying a slow death. Praise God. That's a good one. Dying a slow death. The journey of George King. The autobiography. I'll sit on a plane one day and I'll read the autobiography. Dying a slow death. For Jesus. Hey? I'm on your tombstone. Am I going to outlive you? Okay, cool. Dying a slow death. Any last takers? I'm enjoying this. Amen. God's faithfulness, even though I walked away. His grace is enough. I love the hope. But you see what I'm saying is that nobody said, did anybody say easy ride or smooth ride or perfect journey? Nobody has a story like that. Even if you've got a cookie cutter type of lifestyle and you work 9 to 5 and you have 2 Toyotas and they're both white and you've got 2.5 kids, literally. Still, it's not an easy ride. The journey of life is an interesting one. Whose journey is the muddy one down here at the moment? Yeah, that looks a bit muddy. Who's got that one that goes up the mountain, but you're not sure if you're going to die or going to live? Yes. Who's got the nice tar road? Some of us, you might be in a season where you've got a nice tar road. It's not a problem. We're just going to be a bit jealous and we're going to repent, but okay, nobody. And so the life and life's journeys is not always that easy. And I think if we should ever think that we're going to have an easy ride, it's an absolute illusion. What I do think is we can have a purposeful journey. An easy journey, God did not promise you. An easy journey, albeit if you're a Christian or not a Christian, an easy journey, you were not promised. But I believe you can have a purposeful journey. Who's had a purposeful journey thus far? I've had one for 14 years. Before that, it was really, really not that purposeful. And so I'm banking on having a purposeful journey, even though the journey is not easy. Who's made up their mind that how hard I ever try, I am not going to have a peaceful, easy journey? Have you made up your mind that that's fine? You're actually not, the journey of life is not going to be easy. Okay, cool. That's good. Because Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In me, not in my journey, not on the road. In me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Take heart, I have overcome this world. So there will be bumps in the road, but today we want to look at who's with me when the journey of life, wanneer die kronkelpaaie van die lewe my heen en weer swaai. Because last week we said one thing to one another, and this is what I'm going to say. You might have a journey where you need to start over, and start over again. Your journey might have been intense and challenging, or you might be in a place where it's really an intense and challenging place at the moment. But 1 Corinthians 13:8 says the following, love never fails. Can you repeat after me? Love never fails. So in spite of my journey, and in spite of the challenges, what I believe need to be tattooed on the hearts of God's people need to be that love never fails. We've been through stuff that I would have never signed up for. Really, I've been through stuff and I will go through stuff, this I know, it's not even a prophecy, that I did not necessarily sign up for. But I know that God is eternal and that love never fails. Who's ever had a hiding growing up? A spanking? Who's had that? Let me not make any jokes now. But in that moment, it might suck. You might say, you do not love me. But looking back, your parent or the person, hopefully in love, that were disciplining you in that moment, had a long-term perspective, an eternal vision, a loving one. A one that says love does not fail. So sometimes our journey might feel like a bit of a discipline or a spanking and you're thinking, what the heck? Yet love says, I'm eternal and love never fails. Now quickly, just a refresher. What is agape love? There's 4 types of love. We're going to focus obviously on agape love just for this morning. A simple way to summarize agape is God's divine love. Agape love is selfless, sacrificial, unconditional love. I'm going to repeat that. Agape love is selfless, sacrificial, unconditional love. It is the highest of the four types of love in the Bible. The Greek word agape and variations of it are frequently found in the New Testament. Agape perfectly describes the kind of love Jesus has for his Father and for his followers. It's also a term that defines God's immeasurable, incomparable love for humankind and his love for fallen and lost people. And so it's a sacrificing love. Who's ever had to walk by sacrificial love? You're sitting in a church. You most assuredly have to walk in a sacrificial, selfless type of love. And so agape is something that the world does not necessarily realize or know. It is not a love known to the flesh. Love, in inverted commas. It is one that is deeply founded, it is divine, and it is of God, and it is unconditional, and it's selfless. It's laying down one's self. Now keep that in mind. Let's go to Romans 8 this morning for our second point, ever-reaching love. Who believes God's agape love is an ever-reaching love? Amen. Romans 8, 31 to 39 says, the heading there is the believer's triumph. Now remember in the context we're speaking, we say our journeys are not always easy. Disgronkeld paaie. Dis sometimes moerasachtig, it's sometimes muddy patches. It's sometimes not easy. In fact, most of the time, it's not an easy road. Yet, here we find the believer's triumph. Let's read scripture and let it speak to our heart. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Now, we love to just, for instance, grab that scripture and run with it. If God is for me, who can be against me? Where's the $1 million? No. Let's read on. He did not even spare his own son, but offered him, agape, him up for us all. How will he not also with him grant us everything? Who can bring an accusation against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died, but even more has been raised. He also is at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. And now listen up, verse 35. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Just think about it. There might have been space or place or opportunity or person that hurt you so badly that you felt that you were separated from the love of God. But Scripture is going to speak to your heart this morning. Can affliction or anguish or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, because of you we are being put to death all day long, we are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. Sounds good, eh? No, in all these things we are more than victorious through him who loved us. There's a nice catch verse that we can take out again. Sounds good, eh? But remember the context in which it's written. For I am persuaded that not even death or life, angels or rulers, things present or things to come, hostile powers, height or depth, or any other created thing will have the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What stands out for you in the scripture? The love of God? Absolutely. What else stands out? No separation? Amen. No separation. That's important. What stood out in this? Does it sound like an, hey? It's going to be a bumpy ride. But there's victory. But it's going to be a bumpy ride. But there's victory. Amen. Messy, but not alone. Who likes that? I don't necessarily like that, but I know that is the road that I'll be traveling. Look here, we have, as humans, we have a flesh. And the flesh is a tendency to go what? Always for the root of least existence, resistance. Sometimes existence as well. Just chilling out. But we often just want the easy way, the most comfortable way. Yet the journey, and especially the journey following Christ Jesus, is not necessarily the easy way. Is it the comfortable way? I think if there's a prosperity gospel element in my heart, I need to be just look at the scripture and say, Lord, come and convict my heart. It's okay. It's going to be fine. I need him to convict my heart. Let's look at the New Living Translation. It's just they just unpack it a bit differently, but I want the scripture just to speak to our lives. Just come as a sword dividing between soul and spirit. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? Now, by the way, in Romans 8, if you go read, it starts off by saying the flesh versus the spirit. There's no condemnation. There's no longer any condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. People like to quote. And then they leave out the fact, for those who walk by the Spirit and not the flesh, by the way. So he speaks about the life and the battle we have against the flesh versus the Spirit in our lives. But if we walk by the Spirit, that we're not under condemnation, we're not under the law, that we will be found in the grace and the love of the Lord. So he starts by saying that. And then in fact, he goes on and, so then brothers, we are not obligated to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you are going to die. So he just sets them up. And then in verse 18, it's not on the board, he just says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. And then he says of the birthing pains of the whole creation waiting for the sons of God to stand up. But he speaks of the sons of God having to, nice S word, suffer. It's awfully quiet in here this morning. Do you believe that suffering is part of the journey of following Christ? My sermon is not about suffering, but do you think it might include a bit of suffering? Has it included any suffering for you? Amen. Indeed so. And we need to be honest with one another to say, yes, he's overcome the world, and yes, we'll have peace in him, but it does not make us skip a bumpy road. Or a bumpy journey. Let's go on. Verse 31. What shall we say about these wonderful things? If God is for us, who can be against us? That's brilliant. Since he did not spare his own son, but he gave him for us all, won't he also give us everything else? And in spite of this journey and this bumpy road, he'll give us everything else. Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us the right standing with himself. So you're in right standing with God, but it doesn't necessarily change the whole road. I'm challenging a mindset of my own, firstly, and maybe of us as Western Christians, saying that if I'm in righteousness, then the road is smooth. If I'm in unrighteousness, the road is not smooth. Clearly, Scripture is not saying that. Clearly, Scripture is not saying that. Now, here is somewhere, if you've nodded off, please nod back, because this is an important thing. This morning, we are not saying the following. We're not saying that everybody needs to constantly suffer and have a tough road or journey. But I'm saying, what Scripture, I believe, is saying is that it is not necessarily going to be an easy road. There might be tough situations. But, Retief, is all tough situations that I face God's will? God is no. That is why we need to discern. Because sometimes I end up in a mess or on a messy road or a rocky part of my journey because of the spirit of stupid, not the Holy Spirit. And I cannot then bank on Romans 8 saying, yes, this is the trials and the persecution and calamity of the Lord. No, it's not. You made a couple of dumb decisions. You ended up there. You can repent and love is still going to fetch you there. But that is not necessarily being persecuted for following Christ. That was making a stupid move. Yet sometimes you might end up in a rocky part of the journey. You might end up in a messy place and the Lord has ordained it, or the Lord knows about it and he's not freaked out about it, and you're not unrighteous because you're found there. It's not because of sin necessarily that you are there. What is the key word I'm just dropping here? Discern. 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 If I find myself in a difficult part of my road, I need to discern. How do I discern? I read the Word. I read the Word. I read the Word. I fellowship with the Spirit. I fellowship with the Spirit. And what? I fellowship with fellow brothers and sisters. We were in Malmesbury without employment. waiting on the Lord, God giving us promises, looking really stupid, a difficult part of the journey, having the opportunity to take a new job, and the Lord says to me, this is not of me, you cannot take it. Not taking a salary, staying at home, serving people, praying for them, giving Bible school, waiting on the Lord. That looks stupid. That is a difficult part of a journey of life. That's a difficult part. Even in fact, there came an opportunity for ministry to go pastor or help pastoring in Pretoria. God says, this is not me. Say no. So again, it looks stupid. Now, why do you create this difficult journey for yourself? Because you're trusting the Lord. Now, discernment needs to come in. Is this difficult situation that I'm facing a godly one in righteousness or an ungodly one in unrighteousness? And the beauty is I've got the Word, I've got the Spirit, and I've got God's people. Because the problem is, many believers came to me in that time and rebuked me. But the ones that I trusted, whose fruit I knew, and who I was accountable for from the beginning, came with me with a report from God. I hope you are hearing what I'm saying. Sometimes you end up in that muddy mess we saw earlier. And God is not freaking out. He says, it's okay. What you do then is Scripture, Spirit, people. But not all people. Discern well. Trust God to speak through the right people. Not those that you like and hang with. Ek and Edna has a fence. We've got a fence in the same area, so it just flows. It's just beautiful. No, we're just intoxicating each other. No, get people to speak into your life. Going back to Scripture. Verse 35. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Can anything separate you from Christ's love? No. Does it mean no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity? That's a deep one, guys. That's a deep one. Does it mean, Scripture says, does it mean He no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or are hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? You can move on to the end of that Scripture, please. Next slide. Thank you. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can anything separate us from Christ's love? And then in verse 38, you'll see there's a difference. One says, can anyone? The other one says, can anything? Who's ever been through a situation or hurt by someone where you believe that has robbed you of God's love? Be honest. I have. In my family life, I've had that. That you believe that has robbed you of God's love. You cannot see God there. God could not have been there. I'm not saying whatever happened was His will. This is a fine line we're walking this morning, so be careful. But who's ever been in such a place where you believe this? God cannot be in this. Scripture says, no one, you can go to the next slide, no one or nothing can keep me from His love. This leaves us with a bit of a predicament. I'm going to come back to that, but I just believe it's important now. It's that I might not feel God's love, but His love is still there. This is a difficult one for me to sometimes comprehend. This is the beauty, but also the challenge of agape love. As I might find myself in a situation where I don't feel it, but He is still there. The first disciples, the first apostles, died on crosses, mostly upside down. I don't think they felt the love of the Lord. Maybe if supernaturally there was an anointing on them, they could have. But not all of us necessarily feel very loved if we're hanging upside down on a cross. Not any of most of us feel the love, like tingling feelings all over, when we're shipwrecked, when we're hungry, or when we're naked. In fact, or when we get a spanking. In fact, our flesh man will tell us, you are very unloved in this moment. I know we're going a bit deep, and it's A bit much maybe for some of us. But I believe it's important because I can see it speaking to some people's spirits here this morning. And it gives us a mature look in following Christ upon the journeys that is not always easy journeys. For I don't always feel the love of God. Now I share very vulnerably and very easily with people. But I've also been going through a test where I do not necessarily feel loved. Yet, beautifully and ironically, the only answer for me to get out of this test is love. For agape love is what? Selfless, unconditional, self-sacrificing, laying down oneself, and knowing that He still loves you even though you don't feel like it. Now, it's very easy if we take the analogy of a kid being disciplined. No kid likes being told that they need to put down the iPad. No kid likes eating their carrots. Or some kids do. Interesting kids. Very interesting kids. Or their Brussels sprouts. That's a better one. No, they don't. So they don't feel love. But yet if you force them, if you make them, you are loving them. I just wanted to lighten it a bit, but you understand what I'm saying. The encouragement in all of this is, if your journey has been tough, and if your journey might be tough going into the future, it is not an indication that you are not loved by God. If the child that you have been praying for has not come, it does not mean that you are not loved. If you have been challenged because you do not have the relationship that you're trusting the Lord for, it does not mean that you are not loved. If the breakthrough with my veneer teeth that I don't have didn't come yet, doesn't mean that God does not love you. If you don't feel it, doesn't mean that He did not give it. That is the big, deep challenge of life and life in the Spirit and following the Lord. And that's that on occasions like this, we don't run around with feelings. And I'm the first one, you know me. You can see me doing my thing with the Lord. I like encounters. I like feelings. I detest the theology that says there's no feelings in your Christianity. That makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. But I need to have balance in my own life to also say it is not only feelings. If God is not pitching, then it ain't happening. No, my friend. You need to check your heart. You need to check Scripture. And so for my sake to get balance, I need to know that even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, His rod and His staff will comfort me. I might not feel it immediately, but eventually I will know that His rod and His staff is with me. I don't know what the areas are. I don't know where your journey is at the moment or what tough stuff you are facing. What I do want to encourage you is with Scripture and truth. Speaking into your spirit might not be goose flesh this morning, but speaking into your spirit, He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And even if you got there through stupidity, if I may say, because I've done that, then His grace is enough to get you out of there. But He loves you. Amen. What we are saying to one another is, guys, that yes, we are protected. Yes, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver of them all. What we are saying to one another is, it's not always plain sailing. It's not always an easy ride. And that's fine. Because some of us might be sitting here and thinking, things have not worked out for me. Things have not worked out for me. And you might feel utter unrighteous before the Lord, and it might be a lie. It's always good to check and say, Lord, to have people speak into my life. And say, maybe there is. As I said 2 weeks ago, there's a limp that I noted in this last 2 months of my life. A limp in my life. That was there forever. Edna saw it, she says, but the Lord is now helping me with the limp. Because otherwise, I'll be running in a big circle in my life. Because there's a limp. But God had grace. And so what is this? This is a humbling time for me to say, Lord, please, check it out. And so have those moments on the one side. And on the other side, if you have a tough time, it does not necessarily mean that God is not for you. Verse 35 to 37 says the following, and we're going to stand on this. Who's had trouble in their life? Come on, just for the sake of me, please, now, just raise your hand. Thank you. We've all had trouble. In trouble, I am loved, and love is with me. Please declare that with me now. In trouble, I am loved, and love is with me. In calamity, I am loved, and love is with me. Please say it with faith. In persecution, I am loved, and love is with me. In hunger, I am loved, and love is with me. In destitution, I am loved, and love is with me. Are you believing this, guys? I'll do the rest, because you are too much for me. In danger, I am loved, and love is with me. When threatened with death, I am loved, and love is with me. I grew up thinking that I'm not loved if I'm not feeling it. And yes, we're not neglecting the fact that a lot of feelings go with being loved and comforted. Make no mistake. But there is an element where sometimes you're in the wine press, you're in the olive press. And believe you me, the olive is not saying, praise Jesus me. But when that oil, that aroma, that beautiful fragrance of the olive oil, the pure olive oil, this is biblical, by the way, comes out and are used. It's like the anointing. When that comes from this process, oh, there's lots of love. You feel lots of love. How do you think revival gets birthed? How does a revival get birthed? Huh? By sending on the WhatsApp. I don't think so. I'm not knocking the WhatsApp and I'm not knocking the email. But let's be honest. It's about sons of God walking by the Spirit and knowing that they're loved even though they need to die daily. Even though they need to die a slow death. That they know that the eternal God is a love. And He is love. That is why. If it's not a matter of feeling, what is it then? If it's not a matter of feeling, what is it then? Truth and faith, yes. If it's not a matter of feeling, it's a matter of faith. By the way, what you believe, what you have faith in often in a Christian context, will still your heart, will become substance. Once it becomes substance, you start walking it. Once you walk in it, guess what? The feelings follow. You know what the thing is that I've recently learned the hard way about the flesh? The flesh was never called to be a leader. Take it or leave it. The flesh was never made by God to be a leader. It was always made to be a follower. We live in a world full of people, and I say this humbly, because I'm not better than anybody. I need the grace of God apparently more than anybody. This world is full of people where the flesh has become the leader. God never gave us the flesh to be the leader. He gave us the flesh to be the follower. For I'm a spirit, I'm not a flesh. That's a sermon for another day. It's not feeling, it's faith. Psalm 139, 7 to 12 says the following. Where can I go from your spirit? Here's to encourage you again. Please, grab hold of the encouragement. Where can I go from your spirit? Who's the spirit? The spirit is the one that is also God. God is also love. The fruit of the spirit is also love. So where can I go from your love? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light becomes night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. I want to declare over your darkness is not darkness to Him. Your darkness is not darkness to him. I'm not saying your darkness is not feeling dark. Man, we're going deep today. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not saying that your darkness might not feel dark. But I'm saying it's not darkness to him. What is that implying? It's saying, don't stay there. Don't stay there. Who wants to stay in suffering? Nobody. Yes, we're going to go through, but that's not where we're going to stay. And I saw that vision. Christ is going to lead us out of the wilderness each and every time. Even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death. Not even though I go camp there and stay there and lick my wounds. No. Even if I go through the valley of the shadow of death. The night will shine like the day, for the darkness is light to you. This is good news. On your journey, there'll be bumps in the road, and the bumps of the road is darkness unto you. Take heart, for love is there. But I don't feel, you don't have to feel it. Trust, love is there. The moment I believe love is in my tough situation, it's much easier to get out. I'm going to say this again. The sooner I realize, according to Scripture, that love is in every situation, that tough stuff that you're going through, that dark corners, if I know that love is actually present there, there's a way in which I can just connect with him and he can lead me out. That's the quickest way to get out of it, is to connect with love and let him lead you out of that. I know this is good. Let it speak to our hearts. We're going to end off coming back to our journeys. Whose journey has been easy and light? Nobody. Who's had some bumps in the road? All of us. But who of us can take heart this morning to know that in the bumps in the future, if I am obedient to him, not creating my own bumps, but if just going through the normal bumps of life, I can each and every time remember that he is with me. If I face pressure at work, if I face pressure in a relationship, if I face pressure in my pocket, if I face pressure in my body or in my soul or my spirit, he is there. He is there every time. And I can turn to him. Matthew 7:13-14 says the following. Jesus said, "The narrow and the wide gate," speaking of the journey, "enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction." I'm going to read this again. "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Praise God, we don't hold fast to a reality that I need the easy, best, comfortable way out in this life. For that is the way of the flesh and of the culture of this day. Now we're saying we're lambs led to the slaughter. We're following Christ. Why do we follow Christ? Because of a love for him and the love that he has for us. And the thing is with Christ is that there's always a bigger picture. What I realized in preparation is that love knows eternity. Might just sound like just a statement to you, but may your spirit hear this. Love knows eternity. I sometimes just know that this difficult season that I'm in, this is all I know. Yet, but love the one that is with me, says Retief. I know eternity. There's a momentary suffering, but there will be a far better glory. There will be a sowing in this moment. There will be tears in the night, but there will be joy in the morning. For what you sacrifice and the bumps in the road that for his sake you are going through will not be a loss. Because firstly, he is with you and he will lead you through that. And no good father, no perfect parent will ever let these things be done unto their children or have their children go through that without having an eternal purpose for the things he's doing. Are you willing to believe and have faith that love is with you? Are you willing to let Him grow you in maturity? That your peace is not in your circumstances or in the bumps in the road, but that you can each and every time that know that He is with you and that love never fails. Quickly going to end off just with a song from a song called Reckless Love. I'm not going to play it. I'm just going to read the lyrics. Go and listen to it. But the beauty of this is that as we go through these things and we know the truth that love is with us, also know, as Demi and the band sang this morning, that love is constantly coming for you. He's constantly coming for you. Why did Nick have that vision for me? Because God loves me. And He knows there's corners in my heart that needs more of His light. It wasn't easy, but He's constantly coming for me. Whatever lies, whatever works of Satan in your lives, there is. If you let love, if you let God, He will come for you. He will come for you. He will come for you. And I'm going to say one thing and test this, but it's my opinion. This is not biblical. It's my opinion, but hear my heart what I'm saying. Evidently, Scripture says that love can go nowhere. Or you can go nowhere where love cannot go. Nothing can keep you from the love of God. Amen? There's one place that I believe love can go, but will not go. Where is that? There's one place where love can go, but will not go. I believe it's on the other side of your will. It's on the other side of your will. That's love. And so we need to let Him in. We need to let Him in, sometimes even if it hurts. This morning we had a moment in worship where you might have started to feel uncomfortable. But I sense, I might be wrong, I'm also learning, but I sense sometimes it's good to stay in an uncomfortable position with the Lord. Why? So that He can push through, that He can chase after, that He can chase out, that He can knock down, that He can come for more. Because He will not stop. He will not stop. He will not stop. He is a pursuer of your heart. He is a pursuer of your life. And He is a pursuer of the nations. He is a pursuer of His lost children through love. And oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. And I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb out, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. No bump in the road can keep you away from the love of God. For love knows eternity, and you're in safe hands. For our momentary light affliction is producing for us an abundantly incomparable eternal weight of glory. So we do not focus on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Will you stand with me, please? Lord, I am at a loss for words in this moment. But what I can declare is that for each and every person here and each and every person listening to this message, that nothing can separate us from your love. Help us to know that, to believe that, and also will it for you to come in each and every time. And Lord, for everybody and anybody that feels far from you or have something in their lives that feels that it is a blockage, thank you, Lord, that we declare there's no shadow that you won't light up. There's no mountain in any of our lives that you won't climb up coming after us. There's no wall you won't kick down and no lie that you will not tear down coming after us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, You were manifested to destroy the works of the devil. And thank you, Lord, that you will not stop as we let you in, let you in, let you in. Let your love be. Let your love be. Let your love be. If there's anything in this message that spoke to your heart, and you just want to say, Lord, have your way, just raise your hand and just say, come with your love. Thank you, Father. Shandara. Thank you, Christ, that we know that you have a love for us. And as we've declared before, we just simply declare as children this morning, love, you are the author and the finisher of our faith. And what you've started, you will complete. Love, you know eternity. Take us there. Take us there. And do not take us alone. Use our lives to take others there as well. In Jesus' name. Amen.